Welcome, guys. Friday morning here. H&C Sports here. We're here to talk a little bit about sports this week. This is Hainalu, Carson Barnett. We're back again. Tune in live this morning, plu.edu/laser. And we're here just to talk a little bit about kind of the week in sports and I guess this upcoming week in many years, because we have a big talk today on concussions in the NFL. It's going to be really interesting, guys. So we're going to start this thing off a little bit. We're going to talk about the Bills, the Buffalo Bills in the NFL, and how we think that they could potentially be a big favorite in this AFC. We're going to move on and talk concussions in the NFL, and that's a huge talk today in the media right now. CNN's giving a lot of information out on how we feel, or they feel, that football could potentially be, you know, not safe anymore, and so for a lot of players. And so we're going to talk on that. We're going to talk a little bit about also how there's potential wide receivers in the NFL that we feel that could be too much of a distraction for a lot of teams. And specifically, we're going to talk a little bit about Odell Beckham Jr. and how and Antonio Brown, and how we feel that they might not be the fit for the teams that they're playing for. And then we're going to bring in our star guest today, Logan Black from the PLU football team. He's going to come in and help us with the picks for this upcoming weekend. But we're going to first start off, Haina, what's your take this past week? Sports been, there's been some great things, some bad things. What do you have to say to the fans out there?
All righty. First of all, we're going to talk with the Bills.
Yeah.
And 3-1. They're actually the AFC East leader right now. And when the season started, I wasn't so sure of them. I know Jake Herzog kept on telling me the Bills are for real. Zay Jones from East Carolina. I was just like, no, they're not. I was like, I didn't like Sean McDermott. I never liked defensive coaches, especially with Tyrod Taylor, a guy who hasn't proven himself.
Yeah.
They gave up Sammy Watkins, a playmaker. They gave Robert Woods. I was just like, they don't have the playmakers to excel on offense. I don't like their defense that much. I didn't like Tre'Davious White that much coming out of
college. Wasn't a fan either.
So, especially in the AFC East, I like the Dolphins a lot. And I was just like, they don't have it. And it is the playmakers or the coaching staff to excel in the NFL today. But after doing my research and having 4 weeks been played out, the Bills are for real.
Yeah.
The Bills are for real. All right, I'm just going to – so last year, the Patriots won, and they ran for 112 yards. Their defense was ranked top 10. I mean, the year before that, the Broncos were fourth in points for and number one in overall defense. The year before that, the Patriots were 8 in points for. The year before that, the Seahawks were 1 in points for. And I'm telling you all this because – this year, guess who's leading in number one in points for?
The Bills. I know.
But they're number eight in defense. And they're top five in rushing. They run for over 113 yards every game. And what's the craziest thing? They're plus 6 in turnovers. So we multiply that out by 4 times. They're 24 in turnover. Tyrod Taylor is not losing them a game. They have 1 interception in 4 games. That's Tyrod Taylor. They have given up, that secondary has given up 1 passing touchdown, and that was to Matt Ryan, last year's league MVP. They can run the ball, they can stop the run, they can stop the pass, and they don't turn it over. Those 4 big things are what are the characteristics of the last 4 Super Bowl winners. So Carson, what do you make about all this Bills hype?
I think here's what it is for the Bills too. The Bills are also in kind of a favorited division right now that they could win, I think. And it's hard to say that because I know there's a lot of people out there that love the Patriots. But right now, the Bills are my favorite for this division.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, yeah.
And they're favoritable. It's not a division that's super competitive other than them in New England.
That's a big other, though.
Yeah. And so right now, the Bills are number 9 in total defense. Denver's number 1. So the AFC looks good right now. Mm-hmm. But it's not just that they're number 9. They really are. They should be higher than that in a lot of different categories. The Bills allow the fewest points in the league right now at 54. No one's even close to that. 54 points in three games, or four games, sorry. That's pretty dang good. They're averaging now 13.5 points a game.
That's awesome.
That's really, really good. They have a favorable schedule the rest of the season. They have a couple games where, you know, it could potentially, you know, they host Tampa Bay. That's going to be kind of iffy. Some maybe they go to the Chiefs and they play New England twice. But other than that, it's a pretty favorable schedule. They have the Dolphins twice. They play the Colts. They play out the Chargers. And if I'm saying if that's, you never know, but pretty favorable. They host the Saints. I mean, it's not going to be, they don't have huge games where they're going to Green Bay and Atlanta and
they already went to Atlanta and beat them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, they don't have the rest of the season. Doesn't seem too bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give them a good shot to, you know, win most of those games.
Yeah, and since we're talking about schedule, they're 3-1, but those 3-1, those teams that they beat and they lost to, their combined schedule is 11-5.
Really, really good.
The Jets are 2-2. They're surprising people. They're running the ball and playing great defense. The Panthers, you know what? I was wrong about Cam Newton. It was 1 week, and he did really well against the Patriots. Again, Patriots are struggling, but at the end of the day, they're the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They beat the Broncos, and the Broncos are dominating the teams they're playing.
Completely.
They dominated the Chargers, dominated the Cowboys. They held Ezekiel Elliott to 8 yards, I believe. Then also, their sole loss was to the Panthers, who are doing good, and their other one was against the Jets, who are surprising people. They're 2-2.
They played some good teams.
And
they're 3-1 right now.
I love their secondary. They signed Jordan Poyer, the guy, Oregon State alum. He was from the Browns, and the only reason the Browns cut him was because of their injuries and of his past injury. And Jordan Poyer's a stud. Another stud they have is Micah Hyde. That guy is a baller. That guy is leading the league in interceptions with 3. They have Tre'Davious White, you know, who's a capable defensive rookie of the year candidate right there. So that secondary is insane. And the craziest thing about this is they've given up so many players. And like, they gave up Ronald Darby. They gave up Reggie Ragland. And they still have picks. They have stockpiled picks. Like, this team, I like the way this organization is going.
I completely agree. And I want to say one thing before, too. We're on the air. I'm sure if you're listening live, you would like to call in. We have some great topics today. 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. We'd love to hear what you got to say and your input on some of this stuff. But, Heine, again, I'd like to say, so my favorite is the Bills in this AFC East, partly because of their schedule, but I also like to point out New England's schedule's rough the rest of this season. New England's got to go. So they got to play at Atlanta, or no, they got to play Atlanta at home, and then they got to play a decent Chargers team at home too. Obviously, the Chargers have to come across the country, but they go to, so they have the bye. Then they go at the Broncos and at the Raiders back to back. That's pretty rough. And I don't know if Derek Carr will be back by then, but we'll see. Then they go, so then they have three games back to back. They go later on in the season. They go at Buffalo, at Miami, and at Pittsburgh, and then they host Buffalo. That's pretty rough right there. So obviously these two games for New England against Buffalo are going to be huge, but personally, my favorite in this division is going to be the Bills, and for a couple reasons, like we discussed, their defense is amazing. And then at the end of the day, yes, they're ninth in total defense, but overall, which, I mean, obviously it's a scoring game, they've given up the fewest amount of points in the entire league.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. I do like what the Bills are doing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's week 5.
And it's still Tom Brady.
And I'm just looking here. And first of all, everyone's forgetting the Minnesota Vikings were 5-0 last year.
Yeah, I know.
5-0. And they didn't even make playoffs. I'm looking at the power rankings. Last year, they had Denver Broncos 4-0. Didn't do much. Yeah. I don't even think they won a playoff game last year. I'm telling you, do not. Everyone's talking about the Patriots. Nick Wright, a colleague of mine, said, if it wasn't for the Patriots uniforms, we'd all think they're a mediocre team. Yeah, their defense isn't doing that well, but you have the best player to ever play football in his prime. I don't care that he's 40 years old. He's in his prime. He drinks a lot of water. He doesn't get sunburnt. If anyone has read his book, that's a joke. That's something he said. You don't get sunburn if you drink a lot of water, which doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm just looking at all this, and you know, like, it doesn't matter. It's week five. It's a 17-week season. Like, they're 3-1. Yeah, I like how they got to 3-1. There's some teams who are 3-1. Don't like the Jets are 2-2. You know what? Pencil them in for a top five pick. I don't care. They can win the next three games. Pencil them in for a top five pick. So, yes. I still don't think, like, if I had to put money on it right now, who would you put money on? Carson, I really don't think you put it on the Bills.
You put money on Brady and Belichick.
And
look at how many years they've done this.
And they're 3-2. Like, for the people to be overreacting with how much the Patriots are sucking, they're in 3-2. That actually shows you how great they are for people to say that they're not that good when they're 3-2. And to tie this back up with the Bills, they're 3-1. And people are hyping them up. I'm hyping them up. And I don't know if this is to say the Bills have been, this is actually a shot at the Bills for us actually being excited for them being 3-1. Come on, they're not even 4-0. Maybe they're undefeated, but they're 3-1. I like what they're doing. But at the end of the day, they're the Bills. And it's the Patriots. It's the Patriots versus the AFC. And when I'm talking about favorites,
it's the Patriots versus the NFL. For a while, it has been.
And honestly, like Jake Herzog, if you're listening, I like what the Bills are doing, but you know what? I like pizza. I'm not going to eat it every day. Like, sometimes you just got to go with what's been working, and that's chicken and rice for me. And
all those listeners, it's true.
And I like the Patriots, and everyone's talking about, oh, the Patriots are mediocre. They barely beat the Bucks, and the Bucks aren't even that good, in my opinion, James Winston. But going back to our topic, though, I still have the Patriots as the AFC favorite, regardless of everything that's happened in only 5 weeks.
Good. I think that's really interesting, because I think it's almost too early to tell for some of this stuff. The Patriots looked pretty good last night. I will say they're starting to hit their stride finally. But you can't count out Brady and Belichick is my thing. You can't. And I don't care if they were 2-3 right now. You can't count them out.
And another thing is you can't count in the Bills.
No,
I don't care what their schedule is so far. And what I'm saying is, the Los Angeles Rams last year were 3-1. Everyone's talking about, oh, the Rams are for real. And you know what? They ended up with the top five pick. And at the end of the day, yeah. And sometimes the Rams were 3-1 last year. They're 3-1 this year. And guys, it's only week five. Don't overreact. Don't underreact. Don't set your expectations too high. Don't set your expectations too low. And I don't know, Carson, like, what's your topic? Like, what the Rams last year were 3-1, Carson. Bills are 3-1 this year. Like, what would be the reason for the Bills to fail?
Coaching. No, lack of leadership. A lack of a super elite quarterback. But their defense is there. Their running game is there. But I think that's those two things I just mentioned, the lack of a quarterback and the lack of coaching, are probably two of the most important things that you could possibly have in the NFL. But anyways, guys, we're going to head to the break real soon. Again, if you want to call in, 253-535-7332. We'd love to talk to you. But we are going to head to this break. We just had an interesting subject that we were just talking about, but yeah, if you guys want to, if you're listening live again, remember plu.edu/laser, get more people to listen to us. We have a real interesting topic when we come back. We're going to be talking about concussions in the NFL and is it worth it? And so stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, folks. HNC Sports here. This is Hainalu, Carson Barnett. We have a real interesting topic that we're moving on to, concussions in the NFL, CTE. Probably one of the most important things going on with sports.
Yeah, so Carson really wanted to talk about this this event and like CTE and football because it's getting a bunch of like repercussions towards it. We love football, so like it actually hits really core. It hits our core, and this is a really big topic because this affects lives. Like this is football, but it's bigger than football because it's talking about the effects that it has after football, the effects it has on your kids and your family.
All right,
and we have a caller.
All right, guys, we got a caller here, DJ Winter from the football team. Say what's up, DJ.
We got a caller here. DJ.
What's up?
Hey, all right. Here, hold on. Let's adjust this volume. Can you hear us, DJ?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So, DJ, you're a football player. Got an interesting topic going on with CTE in the NFL and concussions. A recent study came out from Boston University. 110 out of 111 former NFL players had CTE. Personal opinion, DJ, is it worth it to play?
In my opinion, I'm going to say yes, it is worth it because, you know, football has taught me so many life lessons, and I feel like that all of those life lessons are just going to help me throughout my life. And I've met a lot of my best friends through football. But like you said, the physical aspect of it, it is a little scary from that recent study. The 110 out of 111 players that were surveyed had CTE in their brains. So I guess the physical aspect about it is, you know, a little nerve-wracking. But like I said, the life lessons that I've learned and the people that I've met have just been extraordinary.
So, DJ, I have one question for you. Would you... If I told you when you were 10 years old, hey, DJ, you're going to have CTE and you're going to start having effects by the time you're 50, knowing everything you know now, like experience everything, all the people you've met, all the lessons, would you say it was worth it? Like if you would for sure have CTE when you're 50?
I would say yes. Yes, it is worth it. And that might just be the football player in me, but that would just, yeah.
Great. Hey, well, thanks for calling, DJ.
Yeah, thanks, DJ.
This is awesome opinion hearing this from a football player currently today.
A stud, too.
Yeah, playing. By the way, DJ will be on the field tomorrow if you want to check him out. Check out the Lutes online at golutes.com. Watch him live down at Pacific. Thanks for calling, DJ.
Yeah, no problem.
Later. Oh, wow. That was, for him to say that, knowing he would for sure have CTE and still saying that says a lot about how people think. So, Carson.
So, here's what's interesting about this topic, because this topic affects lives, guys. This is there's been obviously 111 out of those, or 110 out of the 111, so 99% of those people, former NFL players, had CTE on a recent study. Now, I'm going to go into that in a little bit on, I feel like they need to study that better, but... Coming from a from a football player, where I've obviously played football since I was in second grade, still doing it to this day, and my dad had played all the way through college. My brother's currently playing all the way through college. My family has lived and breathed football for our entire lives, and personally, I believe football is the greatest game ever invented, and it gives so many opportunities for people to be successful at something. There's there's a stat out there that 55% or over 55% of NFL players have come from some sort of poverty in their lives, some form of being poor.
Mm-hmm.
Football was the path for them to be successful at something. And Chris Carter talked about this. He said that the only reason why his family and him are successful today is because of football.
Mm-hmm.
His mom had 7 kids before she was 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very tough situation to be in. And because he played in the NFL, his mom was able to get her, go back and get her degree and to get her master's. His wife was able to do something. And yeah. He's now on the radio. He's been on the radio for 16 years. And because he played football. There's so many people out there that they are so gifted, but in such poor places that football is the only path for them to be successful.
All right. So you said paths. And some of these players, they don't want to play football. They need to play football. It's not a want. It's a need. If you guys, like, these people don't have anything. Like, their families, like, Jameis Winston on Hard Knocks, he showed where he lived. He lived with 20 people in an 800-square-foot house. That is nothing. And for the fact that Jameis Winston is now making millions of dollars, oh, we got a caller.
We got a caller, guys. So this is Adam McShane from the football team. He's a guest on HSC a couple weeks ago. Adam, we'd love to hear from you on your thoughts. Current football player. Also, what do you think about this whole CTE scandal?
Yeah, so the CTE thing, well, I think one thing to really look at is, once again, these were 110 out of 111 brains that were studied from former NFL players. And so I think my biggest concern about the information released in the study is how it affects youth football, high school football, and college
Completely.
Football. And I think what parents aren't understanding is how many more games NFL players are going to play over their career than youth football players or high school football players. I mean, I've been playing football since eighth grade, right? I've had two concussions. One of them, two concussions in my life, not only one of them football related. So I really think in the first few years of playing football, especially once you're in college, like, your percentage chance of getting a concussion isn't as good. But the more games you play, the more likely you are to get a concussion, which
Very true.
Becomes more likely to be get CTE. And so I really don't think it's fair that youth sports are going to suffer just because of this study.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very interesting. A topic. My dad actually just sent me some information. So I've grown up playing football in Olympia my entire life. And so he said, will CTE impact the future of football? And we're seeing it through the youth football in middle school up to high school in Olympia. 30 to 40% has dropped in the past 3 years.
Right.
Very interesting topic. You know, it's something that they definitely need to look into. You know, obviously, Adam, you said that you feel that more there's obviously it's more of an NFL thing is what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Or it's just the more games you play. And so obviously NFL players, I mean, they're going to walk in after college, they're going to play 16 more games a year, maybe, right? Every year. And that's going to increase their chances of getting concussions in high school, in college. You're maybe playing 10 games a year.
Okay.
I mean, there's a few lucky teams that are playing more than that. And in youth football, what do you play? Like 8 games a season?
Yeah,
I mean, the chances are really low that in those early formative years, especially in youth football, that you're going to get a serious traumatic injury to your brain. Now,
Absolutely.
I'm not saying the risk isn't there, but the percentage is way less than 110 out of 111.
All right.
I'd argue it's somewhere closer to maybe 9 out of 100.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Adam. But
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
I like your opinions,
yeah.
And we always talk about this more at the house.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey,
right, thank
Barracks
you.
Represent.
Yeah, yep. Barracks.
Appreciate Bye. It, Adam. Thank you. So, you know he made a great point.
I don't think he made a great point, because he talked about youth football, like, take away youth football.
No, he's saying don't necessarily.
Yeah, end. Yeah. No, that's what he said. He's like, youth football shouldn't suffer. I'm like, I mean, what? there is, like, I don't get what the point of doing Oklahoma drills when you're 8 years old.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
The techniques, like, I was working this past summer and this guy came in and he was like, do you want to coach our football? Help us coach. Like, we're coaching football. It's like, wait, you guys are football coaches? And they're talking to me about football and all these, like, their drills. I'm like, these people don't know a lick about football. And mm-hmm. these kids think they're probably geniuses, because I thought my youth football coach was a genius. But now going through college, knowing the proper way, these guys probably were teaching me terrible techniques. And the experience and joy, like, I get it in high school, because, like, high school, it's a special tradition of playing high school football Friday nights.
Yeah.
But youth football, like, Carson, how many friends do you still have from your youth football?
Only a few.
Name one.
Colin Quarter, he's down in...
And that's because he was your neighbor. And Matt Anthony, because he's still on your college football. And that's...
A few.
That's it. Youth football, in my opinion, I would be happy if they just didn't let people play tackle football until ninth grade. Because you can still play flag football. And that's still fun. And that's still football for eight. You can teach the proper way to how to tackle or air tackle. There's no point of tackling when you're 10 years old. Because, one, you're probably doing it wrong. Two, you create bad habits. And there's no point of tackling when you're 10 years old, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. These guys who are freaks at football and 10 years old, they end up not being so good in high school. So obviously it shows that playing youth football really has no direct correlation to your success in high school.
Okay, hi, I have a quick question, though. You're a current football player. You've been playing, like, your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been worth it to you to be at a high risk, potentially, for CTE?
Yeah, it has been worth it, because, like, I love being competitive. Like, there's just, it's a habit. Like, it's a hobby of mine that I love to do. It's something I, like, every day, like, when I work out, I do it for football, and it's, like, a goal, and it's to be successful in football. But other than just football and being successful on the field, I've created, especially in college and in high school, like, I created great memories. It's a great way of connecting friends. And, I don't know, if you told me, in, like, same question as DJ, if you told me, like, I had CTE, you're going to for sure have CTE when you're 50, is it worth it? And for me, I'm going to say no, because I didn't need football.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need football. And right now, the player and him said it because he doesn't have kids. He doesn't have a family to look after. These people, Aaron Hernandez ended his life
at 27.
They showed that he had CTE. I bet a bunch of parents, you could ask them, would you play football? Like, they didn't have, some parents might not have a CTE, but we're asking if you for sure you're going to have CTE. And for me, I'm going to say no, because I didn't need football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for everyone. Chris Carter, he needed football to get out. Like, I could still go to a great school without football.
Jameis Winston said it. He needed football.
So that's why this is a controversial topic, because it's different for everyone. Some people are risking their lives, but the thing is, like, everyone's talking about football and CTE, but, like, no one talks about the 9-to-5 job. No one talks about how stressful 9-to-5 jobs are. No one talks about, because my mom works super hard and I know how stressful that is, but no one's talking about that, and it's because it's not football. And sometimes I could say her working that hard for, like, 20 years is doing more bad to her than football has done to me.
Mm-hmm.
But she does it because she needs to work. She needs to help, like, provide for her family. So does everyone. So that's why, like, but no one's telling my mom not to work hard. And that's why it's different, because she needs to work hard for our family. But I don't need football. At the end of the day, I don't need football. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
If football went away, I could still be fine with my life, because, yeah, like, if you took football away, I might not have made the friends I have, but in the long run, like,
at least you're healthy.
At least I'm healthy, and, like, for my family, and, like, I'm not, when I have a kid who's 10 years old, when I have grandkids, I want to know who they are. And if I have to throw away all my experiences when I was younger for them, I'm looking long term. I think it's not worth it to throw away like my potential bond I have with my kid, mm-hmm. for me to be there and for my mental health to still be intact. And I think it's worth throwing away those experiences.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know. I think I've grown up my entire life playing football and knowing my family has been connected to this game so much. I think it has definitely turned me into a better person because of this game. Now, with that, I can't tell you I'm not scared because I've been playing since I was in second grade, and I don't know how many games that is, but it's been a lot, and probably a lot of head blows and a lot of times getting beaten up on the field. But was it worth it to me? Today it is, but you know, if you were to tell me 20 or 15 years ago, would you do it? I don't know. Probably not, because that's such a high risk of dying at a young age and having serious brain damage. But today, if I'm looking at it right now, it's worth it to me to continue playing because this game has impacted me in so many different ways. I think there's been some changes. I think football is as safe as it's ever been right now. Obviously, the college game has done some things that are really smart with the whole targeting penalty and ejection. I think the NFL needs to kind of follow through on that. And there should obviously be fines and ejections. And the targeting penalty is not really a thing right now in the NFL. I think it should be. I also think studies need to be done better. Right now, they've only been doing studies on former athletes. I think they need to have kind of a control with that and have more
a constant
and have more people that are just normal humans and see, because CTE could potentially be something that you just get at old age. And I don't know. And I think with 110 out of 111 NFL players having it, there's going to be something in there with football related, but you never know. I think they obviously need to test more people. It's just so hard though, because the only way you can test someone is when they're dead. You can't do a live test on someone. So that's, it's just so hard. We won't know for years. I don't know. I think every person needs to make a choice for themselves individually. Is what they're getting in return. It could be happiness, could be money, could be self-worth, could be anything. Is it worth it for them to be at risk for CTE? Doesn't mean they're going to get it, but they're going to be at risk for it. And I think every person individually needs to make a decision on, is it worth it? Is this game worth it to me? And for a lot of people, it might be, and for some people, it might not be. And so if it's not, if you're questioning it at all, you might not love the game enough to be playing it. So that's what I believe.
And like, knowing all the risk, I would still play football. Earlier example, that was if I knew I was for sure going to get it, I wouldn't do it. But there's risk to everything. Like, there's proven studies saying how great being vegan is for you, and people still eat meat. You can drive a car, and you never know. You might just get in a car accident, but you still do it.
Yeah.
And if I was you, I'd probably say there's a better chance of you getting in a car accident than getting CTE. And not for you, Carson. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
And people still do it because they need to. It's a, you need to drive to work, and you still do it because, and you know the risk, but you're still going to do everything in your possibility not to do it. But then again, you never know. So same with CTE. You never know if it's going to happen to you. Some people have had like 10 concussions. No problem with them so far. And there's basically there's risk to everything. And if you think it's, if you think the reward's higher than the risk, why not?
Completely. We're going to head to the break here shortly. We obviously just had a great talk on CTE. If you have any, you know, thing you want to say to that, obviously tweet at us. We're on Twitter at HC Sports PLU. So HC Sports PLU. You can give us a call, 253-535-7332. We love to hear your input on some of that stuff. And then again, listen to us live at plu.edu/laser. And then there's a few other shows this week. We'd love to give shout outs to Christian Bond, and his little posse runs a show Tuesday mornings. And then right after us this afternoon, you can listen to What's the Big Dill by Dylan Foreman. So tune into that. And so we'd love to thank all our listeners right now. We're going to come back after our break. We're going to talk a little bit about wide receivers in the NFL. Are they too much of a distraction to be on their team? All right, guys, we're going to take a quick one. We'll see you back. See you back soon. Live every second like it was my last one. Don't look back at a new direction. I love you once, needed protection. You're still a part of everything I do. You're on my heart just like. All right, guys, we're back on the air here live. H&C Sports, Heina. We're going to have a little discussion here about the NFL receivers that we feel potentially could be more of a distraction than they show. Obviously, there's been a lot of news lately about Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown, two of the best receivers in the NFL. Obviously, putting up a lot of numbers, but off the field, they seem to cause a lot of trouble and a lot of distraction for their team. What's your opinion on this, Ina? What do you think? I mean, obviously, this is becoming more and more of an issue. And again, if you guys want to call in and give us your input, 253-535-7332. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Hina, what do you think? Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown.
Are they worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Odell Beckham is one of the best football players. He can do whatever he wants on the sideline, off the sideline, because at the end of the day, it is does like affect people's like distraction. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like if you can't take that out, especially in the NFL when you're getting paid millions of dollars to play football, and you can't take out one distraction on the sideline, that at the end of the day, get out. Like the Giants aren't losing because of Odell's tactics. It's Eric Flowers. Like Logan Black is our center, and he's sitting here in the room with us, and like he can't block. It's Flowers' fault. It's not Odell, Antonio Brown.
It might be Eli Manning too.
At the end of the day, Antonio Brown didn't play in the playoffs last year, at the end of the in the AFC Championship because he got like a concussion because of Vontaze Burfict and they didn't win. You can say it was for other reasons, but at the end of the day, Antonio Brown didn't play. They didn't win, and there's a bunch of things that are going on with Antonio Brown drama. But Steelers are 3-1, and Antonio Brown is producing.
Yeah.
And I know because I played him in fantasy football last week.
I'd like to give two stats out there. Odell, this season, 20 catches, 205 yards, and two touchdowns, and he's only played in a few games. Antonio Brown, 30 catches, 388 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, those are stats, guys. That's pretty incredible. Through four games. Odell's only played in a couple of those.
No.
I mean, these are some serious football players right here. And I don't know. Is it worth it? Yeah, I keep them on the team. These are two of the best athletes in the NFL. But there's something that has to be said. Their coaching staff obviously has to take more control over them. I think Mike Tomlin doesn't do a great job with this and hasn't so far. There's always something up in the media with Pittsburgh. Ben McAdoo, first off, probably shouldn't be a head coach in the NFL. but he obviously doesn't have great control of his players. So that's the first thing. You want to win, your coaching staff needs to have a little bit more control of what's going on. And so I'm not saying cut him. I'm not saying cut him because these two are very, very good football players. But I'm saying maybe just, you know, talk to him a little bit and tell him or find him or something. Just tell him this isn't – you're representing our organization here.
At the end of the day, everyone's not treated equally. And maybe if it was like a backup my linebacker throwing, I cut him.
Yeah.
Like John Elway was allowed to sleep – or it was Troy Aikman was allowed to sleep in during team meetings.
Yeah.
And a rookie slept – an undrafted rookie slept and he got cut that day. And he's like, well, look at Troy Aikman. He was sleeping. Troy Aikman's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Odell Beckham is one of the best receivers. He can do whatever he wants as long as it's not illegal,
yeah,
like domestic violence, stuff like that. That's where it gets it gets serious. But come on now, throwing a Gatorade thing.
Doing a little dance on the field. I mean, who cares?
Doesn't matter as long as you can produce.
Yeah, and by the way, he's going to get fined by the league, so that's enough. Like,
but it goes to charity, you know what? At the end of the day, who's the real winner? Charity. So, Odell, if you're listening out there, probably are,
Keep doing it.
Keep doing it, because I love the celebrations. You're doing great in fantasy football, and it's not your fault the Giants are 0-4 and about to be 1-4, hopefully, and beat the Chargers 0-5. Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and so obviously there's a lot going on with the Odell situation. Who's to blame here for him to keep doing this? You know, is it there? I mean, I'm just saying, like, do they just need to let it go?
For who?
Do the Giants just need to let this go, or do
no,
they need
you know
to?
No, you should blame the other corners on the other team for letting it happen. blame the corners for not being able to cover him. Blame the DNs for not being able to sack Eli Manning before he throws it. Odell.
Fair enough.
At the end of the day, as long as you can produce, especially in the NFL when you're making when it's your job, do whatever you want.
I think the Giants are just bad at as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think Odell has anything to do with this.
Yeah. The Giants are using Odell's drama as a scapegoat, in my opinion.
Completely.
When Eli Manning's the real person you should blame. And Ben McAdoo. That guy needs to, I'll be honest,
hot seat.
Take a break. Yeah. No, he's not on a hot seat. He's
been off the hot seat. Like, it's just
he's
a problem. Personally, the Giants need, this is besides the fact, Giants need to draft a quarterback in the first round, but I don't know. I'd keep Odell. No question about it. This is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Probably one of the best ever. Potentially, he could go down as it when he retires. But I think the guy, just let him do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Let him do what he does. At the end of the day, you might want to have a little chat with him and say, you know, Odell, maybe represent our organization a little better, but that's all you got to do. You don't need to suspend the guy or cut the guy or whatever because of this. But I think they need to have a little tougher skin in New York, and they need to realize that they actually are not quite the team.
Yeah. At the end of the day, they should cut Eric Flowers for 14 games because he doesn't know how to block someone. They should cut Eli Manning. They're just basically using Odell and Antonio Brown's drama is the reason why their team's failing, even though the Steelers are still 3-1, so they're not failing.
All right, so we got a caller here talking about receivers. This is Garrett Johnson, everyone. Garrett, can you say hello to the audience out there?
Hello.
All right.
Hey, how's it going, Garrett?
Pretty good. Just commenting on the topic about, like, who's really responsible for Odell's actions. Honestly, I think it's on him. You got guys like Stephon Diggs and Mike Evans, who are these top receivers in the league, you know, putting up huge numbers. And they're not throwing fits and stuff. So I really think it comes down to, like, a question of character. And, you know, I don't want to make a judgment on Odell or anything, but, you know, if we're seeing this now in their 0-4, just imagine what's going to happen if, you know, they keep going down this, you know, down this way.
Okay.
No, I respect, because, like, yeah, it's a slippery slope, honestly, though. Like, it's cool when you guys are 4-0, but when you're 0-4 and you're still being like this, like, there is a –
there's a fine line.
There's a fine line, and Odell is tiptoeing it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's been kind of injured for most of camp and hasn't been getting the touches that he wants to see, but, you know, I think he needs to realize it's time to produce and to be the player that they need him to be.
Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, well, thanks for calling, Garrett. We appreciate your input here. You're welcome to call in anytime, H&C Sports. Love talking to you.
Later, Garrett.
Yep.
I don't know. I just think there's a lot more that New York needs to worry about than Odell Beckham. And so, but hey, we're gonna head to the break here. Kind of a short topic that we just had, but we'll be back shortly. We're gonna have our picks for the weekend. Bring on our special guest Logan Black from the football team. And so, yeah, thank you guys. We're gonna head to the break. We'll be back shortly. Where you been and where you going? But I know I won't be home and you'll be on your own. Who's gonna walk you through the dark side of the morning? Who's gonna rock you when the sun won't let you sleep? Who's waking up to drive you home when you're drunk and you're alone? Who's gonna walk you through the dark side of the morning? All right, welcome back, H&C Sports guys. Here, this is Carson Barnett, Haina Alou, and we'd love to welcome our guest of the week, Logan Black from the football team. He's going to be here for our picks for the weekend. Logan, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Just living life, man.
Good, good. All right, love to hear that. Short and sweet there, but yeah, guys. So we're gonna get on with our picks. We obviously every week we bring on a special guest. Today's Logan, and he's definitely been studying up and he knows his stuff. Bring on a special football guest. The football players right now, the Emals are 9-9 overall. Hein is 9-9, and I'm 7-11. So it's a tough deal for me right now. I'm struggling with the picks. But yeah, so we pick every week. We pick one college game and five NFL games. So we're gonna kick it off here. Heine, I want to hear your picks for the college game this week. We have number 23 West Virginia at TCU. Big college football playoff kind of potential here for TCU. And so what's your thoughts, Heine, on this game?
I'm gonna go with the upset, and I'm gonna go with West Virginia on this because I don't think TCU is as good as everyone thinks. Their defense is playing well, but their big wins against Oklahoma State, which, again, I think isn't that great of a team. They have Mason Rudolph, who's a great quarterback. But other than that, I don't like TCU, so I'm going to go with West Virginia on this.
Okay. All right. Logan, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
The first pick. Let's go, Logan.
First pick of the week for you.
So I'm going to have to go against Heine here. I'm going to have to go with TCU. I was just looking at the numbers a little bit, and they both have really good offenses. So they're both going to put up points. I think it comes down to which defense can slow down the offense the most. And so I'm betting that TCU can get a few stops, and then they can just take off, and West Virginia won't know what to do. So it's going to be all about defense this week, so I think TCU is going to get the upper hand.
I think this is going to be a fairly big shootout. It's like it always is, seems like, in the Big 12, but TCU has my pick. I think they need it. I don't think they make the college football playoff later on. That's another topic, but they win this week. They beat West Virginia at home. So I'm going to take TCU, take the Horned Frogs in this one. So now we're going to head into our NFL picks of the week. Seahawks at Rams. Huge NFC West battle. Always is. Down in the Coliseum. What you think on this one, Logan?
I have to go with the Rams on this one. I think Todd Gurley is going to run all over the Seahawks. I think Jared Goff is going to play a lot better than people think he is. The new offensive coordinator, head coach guy. I just think the Rams are going to have a day with him, so go with the Rams.
Okay. I'm also going to go with the Rams just because the Seahawks always have had trouble with the Rams in the past seasons, but that was on a bad Rams offensive team this year. The Rams are explosive, and I'm going to have to go with the Rams on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be the loner here. I'm going to go with my hometown Seahawks. I think they win it in a real close game. Probably win by a field goal at down in the Coliseum. They don't tend to play well down there, but I think this week they start getting the offense rolling finally. They're going to beat the Rams at home. The Rams are kind of on a high right now. I'm not sure if it's going to stay that way, but I'm taking the Seahawks down in L.A. We're going to move on. So we have the Panthers at the Lions. Big NFC game this week. Heine, what do you think?
Everyone's probably talking about Cam Newton, what he said about the sexist comment he made to that reporter. I think people are blowing that out of proportion. So I'm going to have to go with Cam Newton on this one just because some people might go with the Lions because of all the drama that's happened this week, but Panthers are looking great. Their defense is great. McCaffrey's a stud, and Cam Newton's actually proving me wrong.
All right. So on this one, I'm going to go with Detroit. I think they're the better team in this matchup. They're at home. I think Carolina's obviously playing well, but I think Detroit's D is going to stop them. Detroit has caused a lot of turnovers. The Panthers turn the ball over a lot. I think that's going to be the ultimate deciding factor in this one. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that, Carson, and go with Detroit. I really like Matt Stafford this year. I think he's going to play well against Carolina. I think Carolina's offense has been struggling a lot. They haven't been able to run the ball that much. Cam Newton throws a lot of interceptions. I like Cam Newton, but I just don't think they can get it going against Detroit, so I'm going to have to give it to the Lions.
All right. Okay, so another pick for the week here, another NFC game, a lot of big NFC games this week. But, Heine, what do you think? We got Cardinals at the Eagles. Eagles are playing pretty well. What do you think?
I think the Cardinals aren't as good as some people think. Absolutely. Carson Palmer can't throw it. Everyone's just – I don't like it. Carson Wentz is a baller out there. I like the like everything that's going on with their defense, and I'm going to go with the Eagles on this one.
All right, Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Heine. I'll go with the Eagles. Carson Wentz is just a playmaker. He makes plays. They'll put up points. Their defense is playing well. They'll shut down Carson Palmer. I think they have J.J. Nelson and Jaron Nelson are both questionable for Sunday, so they don't have any targets other than Fitzgerald. They'll lock him down, and the Eagles will just run away with it.
Absolutely. And this one, I think the Cardinals are very overrated right now. They need to find a replacement for Carson Palmer at some point, but I think the Eagles at home, I'm taking most of the home teams this week, but the Eagles at home, I think they win by almost two scores probably. Their defense is pretty underrated, so I'm going to go with the Eagles at home. So our next pick, so Packers at Cowboys. I'm going to start this one off. This is a huge game in the NFC. Especially for the Cowboys. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home for a few reasons. I think the Cowboys run the ball well. The Packers struggle against the run. They really do. I think that's probably my ultimate deciding factor. I think Aaron Rodgers probably has a great game against the Cowboys secondary, but Cowboys in the dome at home probably win by a touchdown is what I'm going to say. Heine, what do you think?
I almost have to go with the Cowboys on this one just because they have Dak Prescott, and I actually need him to do really well because he's in my fantasy team. Other than that, I think Dak learned from his mistakes from last year. I think they have a chip on their shoulder from losing that game last year in the playoffs, and I think they're going to come out, and I think they're going to dominate the Packers on this one.
Great. Okay, Logan.
That's a tough one, but I think Ezekiel is going to run the ball well. Mm-hmm. So I think the key for me and the Cowboys, if they're going to get the win, is Dak Prescott's got to play well. He's got to be efficient. He's got to be able to throw the ball on him. But I'm going to still have to go with the Packers just because I don't think Dak is going to be able to do it. Zeke can run a lot, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to do whatever he wants with their secondary, and I don't think they're going to be able to keep up.
Great. So our last pick for the week, the undefeated Chiefs at the Texans. Texans looked great last week. What do you think, Logan? Start it off.
I'm definitely going to have to go with the Chiefs on this one. Deshaun Watson looked good last week, but, I mean, I'm a Titans fan, but the Titans secondary is nothing to brag about. So I think the Chiefs are going to be able to shut him down. They're going to make him make mistakes. They're going to get pressure on him, and then I don't think they score more than one touchdown next week, or this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make this pick next. The Chiefs at the Texans, I think the Chiefs win this game. I think it's going to be a really, really, really good game. You got two physical teams going up against each other down in Houston. I think the Chiefs win. I think the Texans offense that looked really, really good last week, probably they only score like two touchdowns in this game. The Chiefs win by seven down in Houston. Heine, what do you think?
This game's a Sunday night football game, right?
Yeah.
So that's prime time, right?
Yeah.
And we all know how Deshaun Watson does in primetime football games, right?
Look at you.
Alabama, last year, primetime national championship, undefeated team. He came out and he beat them by himself. Not by himself, but he led
them.
Mainly
by himself.
Deshaun Watson is a playmaker. That guy is going to win you a game in the primetime. That guy excels. He goes above expectations when the lights are on. Everyone's going to be watching. It's the undefeated Chiefs. You guys counted him out, so is everyone else, but I'm not. I think Oscar isn't counting him out either. But I'm good with the Texans on this one, and Deshaun Watson is going to be great this Sunday night.
All right. Well, we'll see how that all goes for the weekend. But again, thank you so much to Logan Black for coming in for the football team. One of our best offensive linemen, probably one of the best we've had in many years.
Oh, yeah.
Logan Black, quite the center. So if you want to tune in, the Lutes play down at Pacific this week, tomorrow, or at 1:00 down in Forest Grove, Oregon. Tune in at GoLutes.com. Watch it live. You can watch it on Pacific's live stream as well. But yeah, thank you again, Logan, for coming in. So here's a fan favorite, Tabby Hughes quote of the week. We're going to end it here. Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. That's by St. Jerome. So shout out to Tavi for the quote of the week. Thank you guys for listening today. We had some great topics. We'd love to hear you. Follow us on Twitter at HC Sports PLU.
So Hein and I are always tweeting about our thoughts on the world of sports. And so follow us, give us a shout out online. And then again, we'll be back on the radio next week, 10:30 a.m. At plu.edu/laser. Hein will be running the show. I'll be out. Might have a guest in there, potentially Adam McShane. So we'll see how that works out. But thank you again to everyone for listening. We love talking sports and love hearing your guys' opinion. So we'll see you next week.